But the focus is, of course, on the Blue Diamond, Victoria's premier two-year-old race. And if you were listening to Racing Pulse last week, hopefully you had a little something on Tagaloa.
Thanks to Racing Victoria, this is RSN's Racing Pulse. Live from Moonee Valley and the Trainers, Jockeys and Veterinarians Seminar.
Hanseatic Clark's edging off the fence. Tagaloa chimes in two, followed by Away Game. Tagaloa took the front. Hanseatic's a length away out in plenty of time. At the 150, it's Tagaloa. Hanseatic trying to wear it down. Tagaloa followed by Hanseatic Personal Lake. Tagaloa's gritty from Hanseatic. Tagaloa! Tagaloa has won it from Hanseatic and Personal. Then Away Game went to Sarah.
Oh, he was gritty, wasn't he? He had the tough run three wide up on the speed. Hanseatic looked like he was going to run past him, as Trent Busserton, co-trainer, explained live with Jason Richardson on racing.com afterwards. And what a watershed moment in the training career of Trent and Natalie. And it is great to have a chat to Trent this morning after no doubt what has been a big few hours of celebration since the Blue Diamond. Good morning, Trent. Congratulations.
Thank you very much, Michael. Cheers.
How are you going at the moment?
I've been better, to be honest.
Well, if you can't celebrate a big Group 1 win like that, there's not much you can celebrate, because we've been talking to you for weeks, and it was great insight with yourself and Natalie last week at your stables, and the confidence in the ability of this horse that you guys have had since day dot certainly was borne out in the performance on Saturday. Where does this rate for you in your training career? Is this the biggest moment you've had? You've won derbies in the past.
It's certainly right up there. Like the other derbies, obviously, you know, they're blue ribbon events. They're the best group ones, but this is obviously, you know, it's a flagship race in Victoria, and it's a race that counts to the breeders. So to do it with a colt, and to do it with a well-bred colt, and to sort of show that our stable can do that is, it's certainly right up there.
What were you thinking during the run? He was out three wide. Were you happy where he was, or was the plan to maybe try and get a little bit of cover?
Oh, we thought we'd be up there, but you certainly don't want to see him up three deep without cover, and you don't want to see the stable mate inside him taking him on head to head. So, it wasn't ideal watching it, but when he's given a good kick, it was just a case of hopefully holding off that favourite.
How did he come through the run? Because it was a tough performance.
He's pulled up good. His last run, which we knew he was soft, and we sort of really concentrated on having him peaking for the day. He felt the run before. For the first three or four days after the first up run, he was lying down in his box and he was notably dull, and then sort of picked up. But he has bounced through the race, and obviously when they're a bit fitter, they pull through it better. So he's come through it excellent. So now it's just map out the run up to Sydney.
So the Golden Slipper is well and truly on the agenda?
Yes, definitely, and more than likely, unless he tells us he can't. I want to give him a run right-handed, so we'll go to the Todman Stakes in 2 weeks. Give him a run round that way, and then into the Slipper.
With his breeding, the Japanese bloodlines, he's going to be a pretty valuable colt now. And do you think what he's doing now is just a bonus, that his best days will be as a three-year-old and probably out over further distances?
Look, you say that, and you'd think so, and you look at him on type, and you also think so, but it's to some respect you've got to take notice of what the horse is doing. And at the end of the day, the horse has won a 1,000-metre two-year-old race at the Valley, and he's won a 1,200-metre race. So you'd think he might get over further, but, you know, the stallion, he was a sprinter himself, so I know he's trying types to get over ground, but at present he might be a 1,200-metre two-year-old, so while he's doing that, we'll obviously concentrate on that. If he could win the Slipper, well, then that's sort of job done well and truly.
Well, he's going to be a sought-after stallion now. Have there been phone calls made since the win on Saturday?
There have, but we're sort of just letting the dust settle. It's a very good problem to have, but it's a problem that can distract you. So one of the main owners, Aussie Care, he's got a bit of experience in there, and Mark Pilkington, he's a big supporter of the stable, and he's going to get together with Aussie Care and sort of take charge of that, and hopefully they'll get the best deal by the owners, and we will we'll just sit back and do our job and concentrate on the horse.
Great moment for Michael Walker as well. He revealed in an article with Ben Dorries yesterday that he almost walked away 6 weeks ago. Did he tell you about that as well?
Oh, no, he didn't. To be fair, it's noticeable. Like he rode the horse in the spring and was always going to stay on it, but you take notice that he hasn't been getting too many rides. He last Saturday, he didn't even ride at the city meeting. He rode at the at Bendigo. And again, on Friday, he was riding at Sale for us instead of Moonee Valley. So he's not doing anything wrong in his riding, but it's very tough and competitive arena, the Jockeys Arena in Melbourne. And he, if you're out of flavour for whatever reason, it's hard to get rides. But the worm always turns, and I'm sure this will pick him back up. But most of these jockeys, they think about retiring at some stage, and then they realise they can't do much else, and I can't see too many of them going working 50-hour weeks in a factory for $1,000.
Hey, good performance by Let's Be Glam as well. She was up on the speed, and she's only just got beaten 2.5 lengths.
Yeah, she certainly, like, obviously she was there to win as well, but she's done the job for Cambridge Stud. She's now probably a $1 million filly with her breeding. And just looking at her in the birdcage amongst the other horses, she's still very raw. She is a long way from the finished product, so she has got plenty of upside. She's going to head back to Cambridge Stud in New Zealand and have a good break there on their farm for 8 to 10 weeks, and let her thicken up and strengthen, and do a bit of work on the Lindsay's farm over there, and then head back over to Australia for the spring.
Hindsight's a wonderful thing, but could you believe that she was backed into $5 second favourite and Tagaloa started at $26 when you've consistently said you think Tagaloa's a better horse?
Yeah, but the listeners have probably listened to me slaughter about 10 good things on the radio, so if I was them, I'd be going the opposite to me anyway. But, face value, again, she run the quicker time than the boys and did it dominant, so she probably deserves to be one of the favourites. Like, the owners kept on asking if her leg had fallen off Tagaloa, being that he kept on drifting, but I don't know, it's well above my pay grade, so I don't pay too much attention to it. I just know whichever one I back, it's the wrong one.
Well, you didn't back Let's Be Glam, did you?
No, I didn't back either of them. I did back Acting Again, so...
Oh, well, I could imagine what you were saying halfway through. It was a case of pilot error with the way the track was racing. They got to be carried away on Acting. How did she pull up?
Yeah, she pulled up fine. Exactly. She just, like, we instructed him to go forward, so we got to take the blame. But, she was just carving out sectionals that you simply can't do. So it catches up with them at some stage. I think she was running sub-11s for the first 400 metres and then close to breaking 11 for the next 400 metres. So, for the first half of the race, she was just absolutely gassing. So you can't do that, and never mind, she'll bounce back next time.
You would have been happy with Mirage Dancer, and you did give the listeners a bit of a lead last Tuesday or Wednesday when we were out at your stable. Nice run for the Australian Cup.
Yeah, I looked at him this campaign and just thought, geez, you know, we're in for a big time and for the Australian Cup. And then he put in a shocker first up. Couldn't get our head around it. And he galloped up super on Tuesday. He looks immaculate in the coat. He's dappled up. He's happy. I took him for a walk myself on Friday and he was carrying on like a goose. And I said to the owners, if he doesn't run well, then we might be in trouble because he's absolutely airborne. And he was probably one of very few horses that made ground on the day. And I haven't seen his sectionals yet, but I'm picking they're pretty good. And certainly looking forward to getting him on a big track at Flemington over 2,000 metres. I don't think he'll take a power of beating. I know everyone, you know, they want Blue Diamond winners and Slipper winners for stud, but if he could snag an Australian Cup, he's a Group 1 winning son of Frankel, so he's got to be a home for him somewhere out there.
Just on the track, as a trainer, what were your thoughts on Saturday, and how do you deal with it with owners and the frustration of having it perform that way?
It is frustrating for us. It played out well. It was to our advantage. Maybe not Mirage Dancer, but the other ones. But it's certainly frustrating, and it certainly takes away from the day. And it's hard when you've got a horse ride on the day, and you know you're going into the race basically knowing you're no chance. Now, I don't know what the answer is. I know it's a thankless job being a track manager. It's a hard job, and it's a thankless job. But at the end of the day, it is their job, and they've got to get it right. So, like everyone else doing their job, if you don't get it right, there are consequences. But it's simply not that easy for them.
Trent, congratulations to you and Natalie. Does Natalie celebrate as hard as you?
Oh, that's $1.01. That's a certainty. She'll outstay me every time.
Well, thanks to Malcolm McLaren, you can tell Natalie that she's created a bit of history, because according to his records, she is now just the second Victorian-based trainer to win a Group 1 in Victoria. So it's a big feather in Natalie's cap as well. Congratulations to both of you.
Thank you. And I'm picking on probably the only one of the first trainers to use a potty mouth in an interview, so that didn't go well too well with my mum.
Did you get a bit of feedback?
Yeah, and not all of it good.
Did you realise you'd said that?
Not immediately, but the look on Natalie's face and the phone call straight after me, mum. So I can only apologise.
Well, it was great emotion, and I think it's understandable under the circumstances. Well done again, Trent, and thanks for the openness that you and Natalie have given all the RSN listeners. And if you can keep tipping $25 winners, we'll forgive you for acting.
Okay, thanks much. Cheers.
Trent Bussett and Natalie Young taking out the Blue Diamond on Saturday.